This is the DiPietro, Canty, and Rothenberg podcast.
I'm a big star, you know.
Listen live weekday mornings from 5 to 8 a.m. on 98.7 ESPN in New York, the ESPN app, the TuneIn app, or on your smart speaker.
Hey, Alexa, play ESPN New York 98.7.
This is DCR.
Your hockey team won last night, correct?
Good win. Cassie tried to get me to wear glasses, too. She did try to send me to the game to coach with, like, some fog-free racquetball glasses. There was no way I could get in front of the team and give a motivational speech these things on. Couldn't do it.
Their time is done. It's over.
This is your time. Now go out there and take it.
Now, is she of the mindset that you wore the motivational glasses or that you didn't?
I told her I was going to wear them. And then when I came home, hoping that she was still up, I had them on. And little did I realize that when I did speak to her, the game was being live-streamed. I said, those glasses weren't that bad. They didn't fog up at all. She goes, oh, really? You wore them? I said, yeah, they were great.
This is DCR.
You can't do anything without them knowing.
No.
On 98.7 ESPN.
They're like detectives, those wives. Time now for Straight Talk, brought to you by Straight Talk Wireless, the big 6 o'clock hour. So CMT coming up this hour. And today is the anniversary of a very famous event in sports. Very famous, and we'll get there later. And I have an interaction with this person, which you will greatly, greatly enjoy. So, people allowed back at the Garden later tonight. Knicks, Warriors, Steph Curry supposed to play. He practiced yesterday after being a last-minute scratch on Saturday down in Charlotte. I can't wait. I'm looking forward, because the Knicks are fun now anyway, and they're an enjoyable team to watch. Now to have the fans there, I think that it's going to be a really fun dynamic at the Garden tonight.
Yeah, but more importantly, I mean, you said it. I mean, this is another opportunity for the Knicks to get back to 500.
Yep.
I mean, that's what they're chasing. And it's a good test. I mean, especially with you're going to have, it looks like Wiseman might play, Looney yep. might play. You'll have Steph back. So this is another good test for them.
No, it'll be a good test for them. I mean, but you got to love the fact that the Knicks play better at home and the Warriors struggle when they're away from the Chase Center. So, I mean, that's something that you got going in your favor. You've won four of the last five. They've lost two in a row, and they lost to the Magic and the Charlotte Hornets. So, I mean, it's not like this is a team that you're not capable of competing against. You won the regular season matchup y'all had earlier on in the year. So I feel like this is a good opportunity for the Knicks to kind of set the tone and finish out the first half of the season the right way. Going into the All-Star break, you want to feel good about yourself. This would be another one of those good wins that you could call, that you could kind of hang your hat on and feel good about where you're at.
What do we have? We have this week and next week, and then we have the All-Star break, right?
That is correct, Dave.
And I don't think there's anything daunting on the schedule that you look at with the Knicks. There's no game that you say, oh, God, it's, you know, there's no... Not that anybody's daunting nowadays.
No, but I mean, you're talking about after this game, they got Sacramento, Indiana, Detroit, San Antonio, and then finishing up with the Pistons again at home. So that's your schedule.
So how many games, just run that through again, how many games before we get to the midway point of this
season? You got six more games, including tonight, Dave.
So there's no reason, at a minimum, you don't go 3-3 if you're the next.
Oh, here we go. Here we go.
Why can't I converse? I can't even talk to you?
I don't understand. We just went from talking about how great it is going to be to have fans in the building tonight, trying to get back to 500. Now all of a sudden you're forecasting the next six games what they should finish.
Why can't I do that? I can't look and say. You got Detroit just went through the schedule. I got Detroit twice. I can't think that I can go 3-3 in my next six.
I'm on the ship, Omar.
I didn't say 5-1. It's a realistic 3-3.
You don't learn your lesson. You just can't live in the moment. You can't do it. It's the sports talk radio, and you can't do it. You got to start forecasting, making predictions, hot takes.
Is that a hot take?
It's amazing to me.
If I came out and said I expect the Knicks to go 6-0 in the next six games, that'd be a hot take. 3-3?
Yeah.
Average?
To beat Detroit twice in Sacramento to get the three wins?
I mean, my God.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's where we're at, though. I mean, this is you got to relax a little bit. You got to pull back. You can't help yourself. You went from not being on the boat.
And why should I?
To guaranteeing playoffs to now, I mean, talking about
six
game stretches.
First of all, you know what? Oh, look at you. You're like the Russian government. That's what you're like. You're putting word. This never happened. I never guaranteed playoffs. I didn't do anything like that. I said I expect that they should be able to get into the postseason. I didn't sit here and turn into Joe Namath and say I guarantee they're going to the playoffs. Why do you keep doing that?
Mind-boggling.
You're pretty much guaranteeing a playoff spot is what you did.
It's not what I did. And for you to say that is it's bad journalism by you. It's bad talk show hosting by you.
No, it's great talk show hosting.
It's not.
Journalism, I agree with. I'm not a journalist though. Don't worry about it.
But it's not true. It's not accurate. I didn't say anything like that. I said I expect them to go to the playoffs. And you know what? When you guys were asked the question yesterday, you did the same thing. You said,
I didn't.
Chris said,
I did not.
Rick did and I did, Dave. I'm guilty of that. Listen, it's not that I disagreed with you when you said that you expect them to go to the playoffs. I just didn't understand why you felt the need to touch the money. Things are going in a good direction for the Knicks, and how often have we been able to say that over the last 6 or 7 years? Not very many times. So, I mean, I just didn't understand why you would jump to the expectations of being in the playoffs and we haven't even finished the first half of the year. They hadn't even come out with the schedule for the second half of the season, and you're talking playoffs.
That's right.
Yeah, it's a guarantee. As far as the people have heard and know, you made a guarantee.
You're the Jim Mora of the program where you can't even think about playoffs, and I'm thinking about playoffs.
I like to live in the moment because I don't want to get myself all ramped up to be disappointed. It's happened too many times.
66% of the teams in the Eastern Conference are going to go to the postseason.
Playoffs? Dave, some people wait a lifetime for a moment like this.
Ken Connolly tweets in. He says, HDumpty39, and I'll give that Twitter handle because it has the beautiful check mark now, is too superstitious thinking that Rothenberg ESPN is jinxing the Knicks.
Dave, yeah, the Philadelphia Eagles won a Super Bowl because of you. A Super
Fair
Bowl.
Point.
I think it's safe to say that you've already shown your powers.
I have that level of authority and power?
I don't know how you could not see that. I mean, you laughed in Andrew Gundling's face. The poor guy was almost in tears. Carson Wentz's leg was almost snapped in half, and then they end up winning a Super Bowl.
Yeah, but look at how that's come back around for me now, though.
But they still have a Super Bowl.
Won the Super Bowl. Who cares?
Well, I'm sure he's not thrilled about the situation with the Eagles, but you know, you're right. That still pains me. That'll never go away.
Well, of course, and you caused it. The guy who
like
called his wife a jinx for a year. I will say this, too, though. I mean, your initial point, which is a good point, you know, excitement, chance to get to 500, going up against Golden State, you're going to have fans in Madison Square Garden. As a player, the one thing I will say that I did, you know, you do notice when you're playing, and now it's going to be, I mean, because you haven't had any fans, it's the 10% will feel like you have a packed house, is momentum in games is easier to hold on to longer when you have your
fans.
Home crowd.
Yeah. I would think so. Now, how are they going to do it, Chris? I would imagine, is it going to only be lower bowl? Like if you buy tickets or you're at this game, you're within shouting distance of the court, they're not going to open up the upper decks to the fan, right?
Yeah, I don't imagine that they would, Dave, but quite honestly, I don't know. I have no idea how they're going to do it. But, I mean, they are going to have the protocols in place. Like, people are going to have to go through, you know, a process in order to get into the building and then be ushered to their seats. And that's in the interest of safety. So, I mean, when it comes down to would you feel comfortable and confident that you're going to be safe while you're at the venue, I keep landing on that answer having to be yes, man. I know other people have their own opinions about it, but as far as I'm concerned, like, would I feel safe going into that building tonight to watch a game? I absolutely would.
Yeah, I think I agree with you. Because you got to imagine, we're looking at, 10%, so around 2,000 people? You have to figure it can be spread out to the extent that you're not going to be on top of someone else. I know you have to wear your mask, so I don't know that I would go just because it's a lot of hoops to jump through to be able to go to a game now. But would I feel comfortable going to a game, confident that I'm not going to leave that game with COVID? Yeah, I would feel confident with that.
Well, where else are you going where you know that everyone in the building's been...
Nowhere.
Had two negative tests.
Nowhere.
There's nowhere.
I don't think there's anywhere in the world you could go where you'd say you absolutely know that everyone that you're within shouting distance of has had two negative tests.
I mean, you telling me, so I mean, basketball, I mean, going from, I mean, where you live and then, you know, trying to get to Madison Square Garden. But you're telling me right now, you know, as we move forward, Mets game, beautiful day out, that you wouldn't love to go to one of those games?
I would love to go to a Mets game. And you know what? And I know this is a weird thing to say. I think that if you go to a game now, think of the advantages of only having, for a Mets game, 5,000 people. I don't have to worry about it taking an hour to get into Citi Field. I don't have to worry about, you know, people slobbering all over me, sitting behind me and sweating on me during the course of a game. Like, there's a little bit of you get your own little area now in the field.
That's like going to a game in Tampa. This is why I love going to a game in Tampa.
Yeah.
I can, it's like free range Rick where foul balls, I mean, I'm all over the place.
That's
foul
your
balls.
Section. Name your section night at Tampa Stadium, right?
Do you ever catch a foul ball at a game?
Yes.
Do you remember who hit it?
Catch, too.
You remember
beautiful
who hit it?
Beautiful catch. Oh, Aminu okay. Muhammad, baby. Why did you play that? Yes, one at a game.
That's you it. Remember who hit it?
Chris Bryant.
Nice. Two-handed, one-handed.
Two-handed, and I almost dropped it, but I caught it.
Nice.
It was a high pop-up too.
Well, you don't realize how much like it seems awesome when you see it on TV until all of a sudden the ball's coming at you and you realize how fast it's actually moving.
I got to be honest, I got very nervous.
Yeah, but you came. I mean, I see you in action on the softball field. We don't give you enough credit. I mean, you're a pretty good athlete.
We don't give him enough credit.
That's right.
I'm trying to build him up, Chris.
Did you see what happened between him and Rosenberg at the beach bash a few years back?
But I still have nice hands. You were wowed by my hands before the show that day.
That's true. You did have nice hands. You know what? I didn't realize how receptive the midsection of Rosenberg would be.
Exactly.
It actually sucked in the footballs.
Yeah, I don't want to talk.
I don't know how he caught those passes. I was throwing it as hard as I could.
Yeah, I don't blame Dave either. I got to give him a pass on that one. That was so poorly run.
Nothing has been more poorly executed in the history of our radio station than that event.
Well, we're doing it in the middle of a monsoon, Dave. So
it has never rained harder than it did that day.
Yeah, but we're supposed to have legit jugs machines.
Yeah.
Not those Fugazi jug. It wouldn't even, the ball barely, it like just,
really,
just
flopped out of that thing.
Yeah, it just fell out of the thing.
Yeah, it just like flopped onto the floor. All right, that's Straight Talk brought to you by Straight Talk Wireless. No contract, no compromise. DCR 98.7 ESPN presented by Progressive Insurance. So you had a good question, Rick, and I want to revisit this one. You mentioned it during the break, and I think it's interesting. Most pressure on the Yankees, and we can certainly open this up to the listeners, 800-919-3776. You can go anywhere. You can go Judge. You can go Stanton. You can go Herman. You can go Cashman. You can go Boone. You can go anywhere. Most pressure at all on the New York Yankees. So sit. Think about it. We'll come back. We'll get into it. Want to get your calls on it as well. Huge season for the Yankees. I think if they don't go to the World Series, it's a failed season for the Yankees. I believe that. You can get all hot and bothered by that. And I think RJ, who's a Yankees fan, and Raymond, who's a Yankees fan, would agree with me. And Chris would probably as well. But we'll find out. Most pressure on the 2021 Yankees belongs to who?
Thanks for listening to the DiPietro, Canty, and Rothenberg podcast.
You're absolutely right.
Catch the show on demand wherever and whenever you want. Just subscribe to us, rate us, and review us wherever you get your podcasts.
We're not that far off from baseball. I believe that the season starts on April 1, which is 5 weeks from this Thursday. And I cannot wait. And I think the Mets are going to be a very good team, and the Yankees should be good as well. Before we get into most pressure on the Yankees, why when I said, Rick, because I became impassioned and they were laughing at me during the break, why when I said if the Yankees don't go to the World Series, this would be a failed season, did you get so upset with me?
No, I wasn't upset. It goes back to all of a sudden you make these proclamations and everything else. I mean, the season hasn't even started yet.
Chris, if the Yankees don't go to the World Series, how do you feel?
It's a failed season, but okay. We already know that, Dave. That's how we judge this team. It's getting to the World Series and competing for a championship. Nothing else matters.
I'm going to start calling you Hot Bayless with all these hot takes.
Well, huge season for the Yankees. I think if they don't go to the World Series, it's a failed season for the Yankees. I believe that. You can get all hot and bothered by that, but we'll find out.
I don't know what we're yelling about!
Because what nobody knows is that as I'm giving the tease, and I say if they don't go to the World Series, it's a failed season, I have Rick genuflecting, and his arms are raised, and he's getting all upset, and it's like he's miming his displeasure and disappointment with my take. And that's why I became a little agitated there. I'll be honest.
I'm crazy.
But he knows that's the truth, though, Dave. He knows there are different expectations for the Yankees than there are for the Mets. You know, he knows that. You don't have to tell him that.
He's so bold. I don't recognize this bold Dave Rothenberg.
You know what? I'm different in the mornings.
Yes,
I don't want the double plow today. Don't even get me started with that.
Did he double plow?
not only did he double plow the other day. Sherry yells down from upstairs yesterday. You're not going to believe this.
I said, triple plow.
The plow guy is here. I said, you got to be kidding me.
In the bedroom or outside?
Outside, thankfully.
Oh, okay.
So I go outside. No, I don't need the sexy music. I go outside. And I was empowered. And I walked right up to this guy. I said, excuse me, you're not going to plow the driveway here. He goes, well, your neighbor said he wants the whole thing plowed. I said, well, plow his and don't touch this driveway. He said, you're sure? He said, it could get very icy. I said, yeah, I'm sure. Leave me alone. Ridiculous.
So what did you do?
I told him, I said, don't touch the driveway.
Well, you didn't shovel it. So what? What's your driveway look like?
I don't know. I shovel.
No idea.
I guess it's probably a little bit icy.
That's my name. That name again is Mr. Plow.
I don't know.
Wow.
But it's supposed to be 46 degrees tomorrow. Whatever ice there is now will be gone by tomorrow.
So you're basically held hostage by the ice and snow in your driveway until then?
No. I mean, we can go out. I mean, how much walking up and down the driveway are we going to do anyway? We
park
I'm great
with vendors.
We'll I pull the car
that.
Out.
I'm starting to question that. Have you? I mean, what if you need groceries? I mean, I don't understand what's going
what
on.
What do you
here?
Mean if I need groceries? We can drive.
Well, so you can get out of the driveway.
Of course.
It's not that icy.
Of course, it's not that icy. What I'm not think? Up there.
Do we have a is there a drop incentive in Santiago's contract that he's trying to hit here? Over the last couple
yes.
days,
he's got a quota.
He gets close a day to a off bonus? On Thursday if he goes over 8.5 drops in this segment.
Today is a Tuesday.
Today
is a Tuesday. We'll be doing 3 stars today.
By the way, we'll get back to the Yankees in a second. But what you did yesterday, Santiago, is one of the big mistakes that we've ever heard in radio history. I mean, I came to you for the 3 stars, and you said, oh, I didn't realize that 3 stars was today. Rick, Chris, 3 stars is every single day. How could that be the excuse? Well, he could have said, I forgot. He could have said, I didn't realize we were this late in the show, but his excuse was, I didn't realize we were doing 3 stars today.
No, it's like you wanted me to lie to you?
Well, we do it every day.
No, we do not.
What do you?
Clearly.
What do you?
It's on record.
It's on record. 3 stars today, so no excuses.
Oh, damn. But the expectation is that we're going to do 3 stars every single day.
And when did you go to it? About 59?
Stop it. Please, stop it. You know what, Rick? I know that you defending me is something that you're really hard-pressed to do. But please, in this one instance, can you defend me? He had plenty of time.
There's no
I
defending
said 3 stars.
I love Santy, but there's no defending.
No, there's no defending me. I messed up yesterday, and I got to make up for it today. But I'm not going to sit here and take abuse and say, oh, we do it every day. How could you? Like
we do it every day.
That's a clear lie by you.
The plan is to do it every single day. For the last month, have we done it every day?
We try to do it every day, but sometimes it just doesn't happen.
I mean, my God.
But Dave missed the 3 stars today, so no excuses.
Oh, damn! And what's the date on that little soundbite you have?
Well, we got to look at it.
Yeah.
But Dave, you don't miss any opportunity to throw Santiago under the bus, which makes this entire thing hilarious. Because every time he makes a mistake like that, like you make sure to highlight it.
Okay, just to let you in inside where we are here, you know what the date of that was, I'm being told? January the 12th is the last time we missed a 3 stars.
Well, doesn't feel like that long
ago. Gold star
for
Dave Rothenberg. Congratulations on making sure we get it in every single day, Dave.
That's right.
Yes.
I don't want the double plow today.
It doesn't mean that somebody else can't make a mistake. The guys behind the glass are doing a whole lot of
work,
man.
Dave is just bitter because he hasn't been a star for about a month.
Is that what it is?
I received a star yesterday, last minute, along with Rick and Chris.
Those don't count.
All I don't, want if the stars to be appropriately awarded.
If I don't show up to the show tomorrow, just I didn't realize we were doing it. It was Wednesday. I didn't realize we were doing the show on Wednesday.
All right, DCR 98.7 ESPN presented by Progressive Insurance. Can we get back to the Yankees?
No.
Would that be okay?
No, we
You're
can't.
You're driving the show, Dave.
Beautiful.
Do whatever you want.
Back to the Yankees. All right. I posed the question. I posed it to the listeners as well. 800-919-3776. Chris, let's start with you. You can go anywhere. You can go management. You can go ownership. You can go GM. You can go player. Anywhere you want to go. Most pressure on the Yankees this season is on who?
Dave, I wanted to say Aaron Judge just because when he's in the lineup and he's right, this Yankees team is just completely different. But I got to go with Gerrit Cole. I think he has the most pressure on him because in an uncertain pitching staff, you know, you have a lot of question marks with the starting rotation. I feel like he's the only thing that you can hang your hat on. Like, he gives you a degree of certainty. You know, every fifth day when he takes the mound, you're probably going to win that game because he's probably going to lock down the opposing lineup. Like, I just feel like with Gerrit Cole, if anything happens to him, if he's not able to perform at his best for whatever reason, I mean, this Yankees team is going to be in a world of hurt. So I got to go with Gerrit Cole.
Wow, this is a tough one. Because in all honesty, I'm sitting here going through my head, you know, all the different, I mean, not just players, I mean, Cashman has to have a ton of pressure with, I mean, with this pitching staff, what he's yep. assembled and all the question marks. Aaron Judge, for a bunch of different reasons. I mean, he's one of your most important players outside of DJ LeMahieu, and he's got to find a way to stay healthy. I mean, he's got one more year at ARB, and then he's a free agent. Yankees going to have a decision to make on him. Gary Sanchez, this may be it for Gary Sanchez with the Yankees. This is it for Gary Sanchez with the Yankees. Is it not?
Absolutely.
Yep, I agree.
And then Gleyber Torres at short. I mean, he's got to prove he can play defensively, that he can play short. He has to.
So where are you going if you have to narrow it to one?
I'm going to say, because the decisions have already been made by Brian Cashman.
You're going to take my guy. Go ahead.
And we'll see how that plays out. I have to go with I have to go with Aaron Judge.
Oh, I knew you were going to take my guy.
Well, I have to. I mean, the reality is, I mean, as far as this team, early on, the pitching staff will be a question mark. So it may take some time. I think naturally it's going to take some time. I mean, Kluber has barely pitched in the last 2 years, and James Tyone, the same thing. It's barely pitched over the last 2 years. I mean, you're talking about 36 innings and 37 innings, right? And then once you get past that, you got good young arms, but it may take a minute.
It might.
So you're going to have to outslug these teams, and Aaron Judge in that lineup is a huge part of that.
And they are so much better of a team when he's in that lineup every day. I mean, he's a great player. If I said to you, we talk about Deshaun Watson all the time, and where would you draft him, age and all that. If we had a draft as far as most important guys in Major League Baseball being healthy for their team every day, he's absolutely a top seven guy. I mean, he's that level of difference maker, Aaron Judge. That would be my answer as well.
But the part that scares you about Aaron Judge, Dave, if you had a draft of guys that you'd be willing to commit $300 million-plus on a contract to, Aaron Judge would not be on that list.
No.
He's not. And that's the thing with Aaron Judge. You just you question whether or not he's going to be able to do it. I mean, his best season was 2017, and since then he hadn't really been able to stay healthy and play that number of games. I mean, you go down the list, 112 games in 2018, 102 games in 2019. Like, he just hasn't been able to stay healthy and get the benefit of having not only his bat in the lineup, but having him out there in right field where he's a gold glove caliber right fielder. So, I mean, it's just that's the maddening thing about Aaron Judge. You know the talent is there, but you know that you also can't depend on it just because he can't stay healthy.
But for what the Yankees are trying to do, and I get during 162, it's about, you know, home runs and everything else. But when you get to the playoffs, we've seen this over the last couple of years, the teams that have cut down on strikeouts and the teams that have made, you know, big defensive plays, that, I mean, you get back to more of the fundamentals of baseball. I mean, Aaron Judge in right field defensively is one of the best in the game.
Yeah, he's great.
Outside of him, you tell me, who are the plus defenders on the Yankees? Urshela at third.
LeMahieu.
LeMahieu's a good second baseman, yeah, I agree. But outside, I mean, Hicks was pretty good. He wasn't the same Aaron Hicks last year. Frazier's not a great left fielder.
Nope, Torres is not a great shortstop.
Sanchez
Boyd
is not a great
first baseman. You're right.
And that's important. And Aaron Judge gives you a gold glove caliber right fielder.
He's a great player. He is. I mean, he strikes out a lot, but I don't. Other than that, which is kind of accepted now in this day and age of Major League Baseball, there's not really much of a weakness in his game.
No, but he still hits for average.
No, I know he does.
He's got really good at-bats, too.
I love Aaron Judge. Yeah. I think he's a great, great player. All right, so this could be the furthest we've ever gone for a call on the show. You ready?
Yeah, where are we going?
We're going to Ireland.
Ooh.
Sean in Ireland, good morning or afternoon. You're on 98.7 ESPN.
Good morning, guys. How are you?
Good.
I just wanted to say, I think Gary Sanchez is under the most pressure this year. I mean, if you look at what he can do, if you put, like, what about Gary Sanchez when he first came up, or 2018-19 Gary Sanchez, that is an all-star catcher, the best hitting catcher in the game. If you put that Gary Sanchez into this lineup, I think the Yankees should be making the World Series. Even if you look at the ALDS last year, I mean, the Yankees lost that game. Game 5, 2-1. Like, if you have Gary Sanchez who can hit, I don't think that'll happen. So I think if you put Gary Sanchez, a good Gary Sanchez, into this lineup, it makes the Yankees a completely different team.
Yeah, but I mean, that's the only way you can justify. I mean, Gerrit Cole doesn't want to pitch to Gary Sanchez. And I mean, I would imagine if Gerrit Cole doesn't want to pitch to Gary Sanchez, then, you know, I'm sure the other pitchers, if they had their choice, probably wouldn't want to pitch to Gary Sanchez because he's not great at the position. The only way you justify keeping him in the lineup is for his offense. And if he can get back to that, that's a huge advantage. But I just don't – I mean, I think a lot of people question whether or not he can get back to that.
But I think he can get back to that. I don't think – I think there was a lot of pressure put on him last year because, obviously, Gerrit Cole – not saying that he didn't want to pitch to him, but Gerrit Cole not pitching to him. I mean, you think about with A.J. Burnett and Jorge Posada, like Jorge Posada went absolutely crazy for Burnett not wanting to pitch to him. I think it's probably – Sanchez isn't really that type of guy, but it probably hurt him. He would have had that on his mind, changing the catcher's stance. It was just – I think there was a lot of stuff that sort of came to him at once. He focused so much on the defense, he just couldn't hit. I think.
Well, I think that's part of it. That's I think why, you know, like JT Realmuto is a great example of, you know, why he was so. I mean, why as a Mets fan I wanted to sign him, because it's. I mean, just think of with analytics and everything else. Every time they change a pitcher now, I mean, Aaron Boone's out there with the new, like Gary Sanchez needs a new wristband. Like, think of the amount of like. The mental effort that Gary Sanchez has to put into his defense, and on top of it, still being asked to do what he, you know, hit 30 plus home runs.
Yeah, offensively. It's a lot. If you're a catcher, there's a. I mean, because you're involved in
everything.
Single play, every play, and you got to. I can't even imagine it, but the amount of just fatigue on the body as the season goes on has to be immense. It has to be.
Well, the mental strain too, and I mean, let's not pretend like the Yankees pitching staff is easy to catch, especially their bullpen.
No, Chapman's hard. Britton's not easy.
I mean, it's not an easy staff to catch. And when all of a sudden you start struggling offensively the way he struggled, and, you know, you're spending all your time trying to improve your defense and make sure you're not a defensive liability, it's not easy to – I mean, it's virtually impossible to do both of those things at the same time. But, I mean, that's what you're going to ask him to do.
That's right. And this will be his last opportunity, because if he doesn't have a good season, I think that they will move on from Gary Sanchez this offseason.
Thanks for listening to the DiPietro, Canty, and Rothenberg podcast.
I don't wake up at 4 a.m. to wear a swim shirt.
Looking for more access to the show? Follow us on Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter at DCR on ESPN.
Well, we continue with the Yankees. We'll hear from Francisco Lindor in just a couple minutes as well. Let's go to Robin Wayne. Rob, you're next up on 98.7 ESPN.
Good morning, guys.
What's up, Rob? How you doing?
Good. I like the snow to go away. I think the biggest pressure really is on Cashman. As I've been a Yankee fan since about 1961, and I watched Boston go in a tank and then come back and win four World Series since the last time the Yankees won. Last time they won, Gardner was only in like his second year. And we always are in a soft rebuild mode. When they signed Stanton, there's no way they can sign Judge, because they won't go over the salary cap now for quality pitching, which may cost them the season anyway in the playoffs. And then you've got a guy like Sanchez. He's got the same batting average as Dave Kingman had throughout his career. He's a poor fielder, and he can't really pick people off from first, or, you know, he can't make behind the back throws to the bases. He just isn't a good, you know, fielding catcher. And they have a lot of places to plug. I mean, I think Frazier's a good hitter, still unproven. They paid Hicks $70 million for 10 years. But definitely by paying Stanton, they close the door on Judge. And if they don't get a bunch of players, not draft picks, back for him, they're going to be in this boat forever. They're never going to get back to the World
Series. So you would trade Judge?
Well, you have to. They're not going to go over to salary cap by that much money to sign Judge.
But you don't even. But Rob, here's the thing, though, too. I mean, this CBA is up after the season. You don't even know what the luxury cap threshold is going to be in the new CBA.
Well,
that was part of what aggravated me about what the Mets were doing. Is that if you
yeah,
this
I know,
is the year to do it.
Yeah.
And it's not
huge
money.
I'll say one thing, and then I'll let you guys go. The Yankees have been relying since 2009 with long ball wins games. Long ball wins games during the season. It never wins playoffs. It just doesn't.
I think we agree with you, Rob. But let me ask you this. You think if Aaron Judge, Chris, has a monster season, that there's any way that the Yankees can move on from him and trade him? I don't see that as a real possibility.
No, I don't see it as a possibility either. If he goes out there and he plays in 130 games and he produces and hits 50-plus home runs, there's no way he's going anywhere else. But the question is he going to be able to stay healthy enough to play in that amount of games? Is he going to have the opportunity to have that type of production? That's always been the question. But if he proves it in this year, then you got to think that after this season, the Yankees would extend him. I mean, they put the Judge's chamber out in right field. How many players have they put a section in this Yankee Stadium for in the history of the organization? So, I mean, they want to give him every opportunity to go out there and prove he can stay healthy so they can sign him to a long-term deal. Like, they want that. That's a part of why Brian Cashman has been judicious in doling out contracts and going after players, because he knows he's going to have some money set to the side in case those young guys do step up and they are able to produce. In Aaron Judge's case, he is able to stay healthy.
Yeah, but it seems like, I mean, those guys that you were counting on, I mean, I think everyone had, you know, Gary Sanchez penciled in as one of those guys that would be, you know, up for a big contract and the Yankees would have to sign. That doesn't look like it's the case anymore. Right? So you take him off the list.
Right.
We still got Gleyber Torres, who, I mean, we'd all expect to be, you know, a Yankee for a long time. But yep. I mean, Aaron Judge, age-wise, yeah, it stinks. I mean, the fact that he's getting into free agency at 31 is not great for him. But, I mean, he is, I mean, since Derek Jeter, he's the next closest thing to being the captain of this team. He is the captain of this team. He's not called, I mean, he's not the captain, but he's the captain of the team.
And you're the Yankees. You don't move on from guys who are in the primes of their career.
This is a different Yankees, though, Dave.
Yeah, this is a different Yankees.
This is a different Yankees. It is. This is not. I think that's the hard part for the Yankees fan that was used to the George Steinbrenner Yankees. Whatever it would take financially to put a winning product on the field, they would do. And the Yankees have won. But I mean, Chris has said it. If they don't win the World Series, for him, it's a disappointment. And they've been using this luxury tax threshold as a salary cap because they feel like, you know, once you get to the playoffs, it's a crapshoot, and why are we going to spend all this extra money when, you know, there's teams like the Rays, for example, that barely spend any money and end up in the World Series, which I don't love, to be honest. I don't love it. The fact that this Yankees team has the talent to win a World Series and Cashman goes out and does what he did with the pitching staff, that would concern me a little bit because, there's a lot of hoping going on right now.
Yeah, and why not go out there and make the moves that give you the best chance to absolutely win? Like, when you got chances to win championships, you got to take advantage of them because they don't come along very often. And in the Yankees' case, you're talking about going an entire decade without getting back to the World Series. So, I mean, it feels like this is a team that was capable of doing that. Why not go out and pay the extra and go over the luxury tax threshold for this particular team, knowing the opportunity that's in front of you? I mean, in the American League, you got to say it's really the Yankees and everybody else.
It absolutely is.
So, I mean, it's like, why wouldn't you go out and spend a little extra to fortify the starting pitching staff so you can feel comfortable about the frontline guys that you have other than Garrett Cole? Like, hoping and wishing on a star doesn't seem like it was the right way to go. But, I mean, time will prove whether Brian Cashman's approach was the right one.
And here's the other thing, though, too. Let's just say all things go right for the Yankees as far as their pitching staff is concerned.
Mm-hmm.
So Garrett Cole is Garrett Cole. We all expect that. I mean, that seems like the one thing you can rely on is Garrett Cole is going to be
right.
Great.
Yeah.
Kluber is good, and Tyone is good. Here's the thing, though. Depending on how you manage these guys in their innings, what are these guys, one who's pitched, I mean, Tyone the last 2 years has pitched 37 innings. Last 2 years, Corey Kluber's pitched 36 combined innings. How many innings are these guys going to be able to pitch? And what are they going to look like by the time you need them the most in the postseason?
That's a great point. I mean, you might have to massage it and baby it the entire season where you don't put them out for the fifth inning or the sixth inning.
What's that do with your bullpen, though? So now we get in the same situation.
Yeah, but I think that's the age-old concern for the Yankees. They're going to win 93, 95, 97, even 100 games, upwards of that. But what are they when you get to the postseason? And that's got to be the concern.
But that's been the biggest problem with them, too, is we always, like, why the health is such a concern is because of the timing of these guys getting hurt. Like, it's always, and Chris experienced this winning in a Super Bowl. They weren't the best team, but they were playing the best football. And it felt like, you know, leading into the playoff run, then all of a sudden every playoff game, they were getting better and better, hitting their stride. And then by the time they got to the Super Bowl, they were hitting on all cylinders. When you've missed it, you know, you miss extended periods of time, you don't allow yourself to get into that groove. So when you're going into the postseason, you're playing your best baseball.
I want to ask you this question, though, Rico, because, I mean, you consume more baseball than anybody that I know. Like, is it different when it comes to the starting pitcher? Because I get it with the guys that play every single day. Is it different when it comes to pitching?
I think it's a little bit different.
Okay.
Because, I mean, I just, as far as, you know, the everyday position players, like being locked in at the plate, how you're seeing the baseball, that takes a bunch of, you know, reps, bunch of repetition.
Yeah.
I think the big thing with pitchers is, you know, once you get to that spot, how many innings you've, like, just the wear and tear on your arm. Like, how much do you have left in the tank to make that?
Can you stay in that groove? Can you stay in that groove?
And you've seen it too. Like, look at the pitching staffs after they make a run to the look at the starting staffs after they make a run to the World Series that next season.
Well, look at the Nationals last year.
Well, all the innings they pitched, it takes its toll. And now all of a sudden you're talking about a pitching staff that, Aaron Boone's talking about all this depth. Okay, yeah, there's a lot of supposed talent, and we've seen Kluber, the Klubot win Cy Youngs, and Tyone's got a ton of talent. But when I look at depth, man, and I'm not just saying this because I'm a Mets fan, but I'm looking depth 1 through 6 in their rotation. That's depth.
Yes.
You got 6 legit guys.
Well, they're not starting a guy that you look at as a real piece for the future. Peterson doesn't sound like he's going to be in the starting rotation for the Mets. The Mets starting staff, and I think the Yankees are the better team, so let me get that out there. But the Mets starting staff, in my mind, there's a lot less questions than the Yankees have right now.
Yeah, well, exactly right. Look at the staff. Go top to bottom. You're talking about, even if you added Peterson, now you're talking 7 with Syndergaard coming back. You got DeGrom, you got Cookie, you got Stroman, you got Walker, you got Lucchese,
yep.
You got Peterson, and then you got Noah Syndergaard coming back. That's 7.
It's a lot. It is.
And then you added a bunch of guys that can start games if you need them to start games. And you go position by position. I'm telling you what, man. You go position by position, team for team. The Mets aren't too far off.
No, they're not.
They're really not.
I want to see it, though. I want to.
I know you have to see it
from the Mets.
Well, because no one's got less out of more than the Mets.
Exactly. And last year, everybody goes to the postseason, and the Mets can't. They weren't even close.
Now, last year was an embarrassment.
It was an embarrassment.
What they did offensively, they had no right not making the playoffs last year.
Let's go to Justin in Jersey. Justin, you're next up on 98.7.
Guys, good morning. Good morning.
Good morning.
So basically, I'm a big time Yankee fan. I grew up during the Steinbrenner era, like you say, 4 championships in 5 years. This team is nothing like those guys. First of all, they all got something to prove, and I'm talking about everybody from Gary Sanchez to Cashman. I'm tired of hearing we're going to get arms during the deadline. I'm confident in what we have, and basically we're a joke at the end of the season. We should be contenders every year.
But you are, though. Listen, I understand that you're disappointed that you're not doing what you want to do, Justin, but you're contenders. You took Tampa to the max and were this far away from winning that series, right? The year before, you took Houston all the way to the end. Can we stop it with we're a joke? You're disappointed, but a joke is just, it's ridiculous.
Well, what makes it feel like a joke, Dave, is that Brian Cashman said, and this is several seasons ago, that he's not going to jeopardize championships to win one championship, and we're still waiting on the first championship in this dynastic window for the Yankees. Like, that's the part of it that's a little bit of a joke from Yankees fans. So I get where he's coming from. Like, Justin ain't all the way off with this one. Like, to have a team with the lowest payroll in baseball who's in your division beat you on their way to the World Series is laughable.
See, that's the thing that drives me a little bit crazy about the Yankees, too, is I get, how important analytics are for 162 games and everything else, but there is something to be said about playing good baseball. And the Yankees last year did not play a lot of good baseball.
No, not at all.
No, they were not a great team by any stretch.
No, so here's the other thing, though, too. I will point to this one positive for the Yankees fan is, we had the one caller bring up Judge. You should trade Judge because we're not going to sign him because of the luxury tax threshold and everything else. The one positive could be now all of a sudden this season when you're going to need a bunch of different arms because you're going from 60 to 162. Maybe this is the year where all of a sudden – a Davey Garcia does step up, and you have these young pitchers that do step up, which salary-wise sets you up moving forward. Because now you're not spending any money on your rotation.
That's right. Outside of Cole, maybe you don't spend a ton of money on that rotation. All right, find quality candidates and do it fast with Indeed Instant Match. Indeed searches through millions of resumes in their database to deliver candidates who fit your job description instantly. Claim a $75 credit on your first post at Indeed.com/credit. Terms and conditions apply. I don't know if you know it, Raymond, but we're going to do a CMT today because it is, in fact, Tuesday. So let's have it.
To cuddle.
I'll tell you what, Rico. I can chase him down. I'll hold him down for you.
To marry.
I don't want to give up the meat.
Or to trash.
I think I'm emotionally broken.
That is the question.
Ah, yes, you are emotionally broken. We'll get to that.
But a good day for your emotions yesterday for a lot of reasons, Rick. But we'll get to that. So you guys were talking, Matt, it's a good transition. So you guys crushed Pakoda. I get a sense you guys are coming around, though. I know that there's been some transactions on the roster, but Pakoda's not alone anymore. William Hill Sportsbook. I know, Dave, you're familiar for a lot of reasons. So they have the Mets as the division favorites. They don't have the Mets winning the NL East by, 74 games like Pakoda does. But they are the favorites, followed by the Braves, the Nationals, the Phillies, and the Marlins. So, cuddle, marry, or trash the Mets as NL East division favorites.
Oh, my God. Why do you have to do this to me? Because, I've been busting Dave's chops. Now, all of a sudden, you want to put me in the spot.
That's how
you want
goes.
Me to start here? I'll start
You start. You start.
All right. I'm gonna trash it. I am. I like the Mets. I think they're a vastly improved team. But I think that Philly is going to be good. I think Washington is going to be very good. And Atlanta, I think that's the best team in the division right now. So, I like the Mets. I expect them to go to the postseason via the wild card. But would I sit here and tell you that they are the favorites to win the division? No. I will trash that, and I will trash Pakoda.
You're not slick, Dave. I know what you're doing. You're trashing it in the event that you end up being wrong and they do win the division. You can feel good about
your
take.
Well, that'd be
great.
Then it's a win-win.
Here's what I'm going to do, because Dave doesn't play the game right. I am going to cuddle it. I don't want to jinx it by marrying it, but I'm going to cuddle it. I expect Pete to bounce back. The pitching staff is legit. You're better defensively now that you got Lindor. I'm going to cuddle it.
I don't know why you got to go after Pakoda, Dave, too.
Why do you got to go after me? What do you mean I don't play the game right? How do I not play it right?
Because you're all over the place. You're making these crazy takes where if they don't do this, you're going to be disappointed. Now all of a sudden that you can't even cuddle them winning the division?
I don't expect the Mets to win the division. Do you? For the Mets to be the favorite odds on statistically to win the division, I think is crazy.
If they don't expand the playoffs, just let me tell you one thing. You're in the toughest division in baseball. You're going to beat the hell out of each other. You're not getting they're just going to get the wild card. I don't know if they're going to just get the
wild
card.
Neither do I. Because you got to figure the Dodgers and Padres are both going to get in. You could finish third in this division, win 88 games, and not get into the postseason.
Ouch.
Nobody's safe here. Everyone's catching strays
right
now.
I'm going to cuddle the Mets, just so you know, RJ. So I'm going on the record.
Thank you, Christopher.
I'm cuddling the Mets as the favorites to win the division.
Yes.
Dave's you need such reassurance, Rick. It's really very unattractive quality.
Dave's yelling at Rick, Pakoda, the call screen are going to break. It's a lot of problems. All right, this one's making me nervous. Mike Trout said he's talking to the union chief, Tony Clark, once a day. So a lot of pessimism around the new CBA, especially if you follow anyone that writes about baseball at all. So here's my question. Cuddle, marry, or trash that there will be more games played this season, keep in mind, during a pandemic, than there will be next season when really only labor issues could derail the season.
Well, I'll go first. I'll cuddle it. I don't want to marry it because I don't want to see it happen, but I mean, this relationship is so contentious. And I mean, if you're the players too, looking at what teams have done this year and even last season, I mean, they're using the threshold like it's a hard salary cap. If that's going to be the case, you're going to have these bottom teams start spending money. So this is going to be a huge problem.
Yeah, I'm going to cuddle it too, Rico. And you said it. I mean, the best way to describe the relationship between the owners and the MLBPA is extremely adversarial. And baseball better be careful, both the owners and the players, that they don't overplay their hand. Because, I mean, this public bickering doesn't do anything to attract younger fans and to get more eyeballs on your sport. So that's got to be the biggest concern. You don't want this contentious negotiation to drag out into the court of public opinion, because nobody wins if that happens.
I understand my gameplay will get criticized, but I'm sadly going to marry that. I think you're going to see 162 games this year for Major League Baseball, and there's a better chance that you don't see that next season. So for that reason, I will marry that.
That's one of the most baseball things baseball could ever do.
Of course. Would that surprise anybody, though?
Not at all. So, Colts receiver Michael Pittman Jr. says he's talked to newcomer Carson Wentz.
Love it.
Because
love it.
Michael Pittman Jr., you might wonder why, he wears number 11. And Carson Wentz, all the way back to college, has also worn number 11. So, Pittman Jr. asked about the potential number swap, and he said, "I am number 11. Doesn't leave a lot of room for a wiggle there. So, cuddle, marry, or trash, any sort of big deal, any sort of meaning, any sort of animosity at all from Pittman or the Colts to Wentz?
Well, I'm going to trash it. I don't think there's any animosity. But the one thing I will say is Michael Pittman Jr., I don't think he's thought this thing all the way out, because the guy that he's going to be dependent on in order to do his job and have production is going to be Carson Wentz. So, I mean, you want your quarterback feeling comfortable. If the numbers are part of the deal, then so be it. I mean, how'd that work out for Chris Godwin down there in Tampa giving up number 12?
I believe he got his phone thrown in the river during a Super Bowl parade.
Correct.
So you can take.
I think he'll be able to buy a new one with all the money he's going to get paid in free agency.
Yeah, I'm gonna trash that as well. I will. I don't think this is gonna be an issue at all. And you know what? You're Tom Brady. You're the greatest of all time. You get whatever number you want. You're Carson Wentz, and you've forced your way out of Philadelphia. I don't think you have as much say. So good for Pittman on keeping number 11.
I gotta cuddle it. I think, I mean, well, one of the things we've heard about Carson Wentz is the lack of leadership and how, you know, teammates look at him.
True.
And, I mean, this is, I don't want to say disrespectful, but, I mean, wide receiver, quarterback gets you the ball. I mean, I'm sure there's some kind of financial arrangement you can make for him to be like, no, I'm 11. I don't know how much respect he has for Carson Wentz.
I love it.
Yeah, you got to respect the just saying I am number 11. So, moving on here. Fans back in New York State, both the Knicks and the Nets home tonight. There will be fans in the building. Cuddle, marry, or trash you personally attending a sporting event in the calendar year of 2021.
Oh, I'll marry that. I think this calendar year, and especially when we get to outside games and the summer and the warm weather, and you know, you feel more comfortable outside anyhow, I'll marry that. Unless we take a turn in the wrong direction, and God forbid that happens, I will be at least one, probably more, sporting events this calendar year.
Yeah, I'm going to get that pregnant and marry it, the whole nine. I can't wait to go to a Mets game.
You're not going to get pregnant before you marry it, though, are you?
I might get so excited that may just happen. And then we'll be engaged before I do.
Like, so an out of wedlock, a fourth category needs to be thrown into this?
Wow. I'm going to marry it, too. I'll be at some Yankees games this spring, no doubt.
All right, and finally, Coach Rick DiPietro got his Twitter verification back during a game he was coaching, Portland, a 7-1 throttling in their season opening win. We actually had people out, I think it was Jordan Ronan, we had out at the game covering Coach DiPietro, and here he was on the win.
Yeah, good win for the first game. Not a lot of practice time trying to figure out lines and everything else, but it was a good first one. It was nice to get everyone back. I mean, you can just see how, I mean, these kids, it's been a tough year in them to get them back, and like, especially the seniors. I mean, playing on their high school team, it's a big deal. I forgot how much, I mean, you don't realize how much you miss it until you're finally back and coaching a game, but it was great.
That's great audio quality, too.
Great quality.
Cuddle, marry, or trash, Coach DiPietro keeping his Twitter verification.
I'll marry it.
Yeah.
Go ahead, Chris. We both married.
No, I'm going to marry it. I mean, listen, the guy's going out there and he has a dominant win in his team's debut this season. So, I mean, yeah, I'm absolutely going to marry it. No question.
You know what's amazing, David,
yes,
about that clip is that as the driver of the show, you make me so uncomfortable talking about hockey that naturally in my mind, I have to speed up when I'm talking about hockey.
Don't blame me.
It's your fault.
You need a scapegoat. And I was going to marry that, and I'll still marry it, but you have to do a better job of containing yourself. Why would you blame me for your hockey conversation
in
the 5 o'clock hour?
I just feel like you rushed me through it, so I just got to get as much as I can.
I didn't rush you at all. We started the show. We led the show with your hockey exploits and the team 7-1 win. How can you blame me for rushing you?
I could feel it.
Did I once say, can we move along here? Did I once say, hustle through this take? No.
I could feel you through the Zoom.
That is really, I mean, that is, as the great Joe Namath would say,
mind-boggling.
Yeah, thank you, Joe. That really is that you would say something like that.
Thanks for listening to the DiPietro, Canty, and Rothenberg podcast.
I have nothing left.
Hear more of DiPietro, Canty, and Rothenberg live weekday mornings from 5 to 8 a.m. on 98.7 ESPN in New York, the ESPN app, the TuneIn app, or on your smart speaker.
Hey, Alexa, play ESPN New York 98.7.